January 19th, 2009. Urien ground his teeth as he led Savitar into Styx's bedroom in New York, where he'd been holding a silent vigil on and off since they got back from Colossus with Tori and Asheron, and Styx had collapsed on the floor. He was terrified about Styx's condition, and he was at a loss about who else to call. Who else would know how to fix a sick immortal other than Apollyme? And given their current relationship, he figured it was best not to try that venue, as the goddess was likely to splinter him into pieces. "He's been like that." Savitar gave Urien an arch stare. "I know, right? It's like his whole body has shut down. He hasn't eaten or drunk or even moved. Every now and again, he whispers in ancient Greek, Arabic, or ancient Egyptian, but I can't make it out." Frowning, Savitar pulled the blanket back to examine the wound Asheron had sealed. But the moment he saw Styx's extensive scarring, he gaped in horror. "What the hell?" Urien more than understood his reaction. He'd had the same one himself the first time he'd seen it. Aside from being a war hero who fought in dozens of battles, he spent a year as a POW in Atlantis. He never really says much about it other than it sucked, but from the scars, I'd say they tortured him the whole time he was there. Savitar expelled a heavy breath.
"I had no idea. Does Asheron know about this?"
If he did, he didn't care, obviously. Nor had he bothered to check on them, or even ask. While Urien had cut him a lot of slack because of Tori being threatened, he was getting a little pissed about it at this point.
"I don't know.
From his hatred of Styx, though, I'd say he doesn't care. He'd probably say Styx deserved it." Savitar felt Styx's forehead.
"How long has his fever been this high?"
"Since the fight with Stryker. He had it when I brought him home, and it hasn't broken or gone down at all." Savitar placed his hand to Styx's throat.
"He barely has a pulse." "No shit, Sherlock."
Savitar gave him a pissed look that said he might have heard that. Clearing his throat, Urien reminded himself to rein his thoughts in around the omniscient, irritable one.
"Yeah, I didn't know what to do.
Not like I can call a doctor. When I tried to call Ash, he said Styx was probably faking it for attention. He told me Styx couldn't die and would be fine, not to concern myself with it, but he doesn't look fine. He looks like a corpse." And since Ash had sounded distracted and hung up without saying goodbye, Urien had taken the hint. Whatever had gone down between him and Styx had left them as strangers. Ash didn't want anything to do with his brother, period.
"Damn, Styx, what'd you do? Piss on his favorite toy and make him eat it?" "All right, stand back. I'm gonna shock him out of this."
Urien moved to stand in the doorway as Savitar placed his hand over Styx's chest. A slight hum filled his ears a few seconds before what appeared to be a sledgehammer-like bolt shot from Savitar's hand into Styx's chest. Styx's eyes flew open. Panting, he frowned at Savitar and then Urien as if he didn't recognize them at first. As soon as he did, his eyes filled with panic and tears.
"No!"
Styx breathed, raggedly, sweeping the room with his gaze.
"Beth! Galen!"
Well, that wasn't the reaction Urien had expected. Nor was the next one, where he flung himself out of bed and frantically searched his condo, room to room. Stunned, he exchanged a wide-eyed stare with Savitar that turned into a gape when Styx fell to his knees and bellowed,
"Why did you bring me back here? Why? I was with them and we were happy. I was with them."
Styx curled up into a ball and wept, as if his entire world had shattered.
"Beth, don't leave me again. Please. Please come back to me. I can't live without you anymore."
Urien choked at the sight of a profound agony he knew better than anyone. For a long time, he'd hated Ash for bringing him back to life. Even now, every day he lived without Phoebe was a day he despised with fury.
Why didn't I leave him alone?
Had he known Styx was in a coma with his family, he'd have left him there forever.
What the fuck have I done? How selfish could I be?
His heart breaking for his newfound friend, Urien knelt down by Styx's head and gathered him into his arms. I'm sorry, Styx. We didn't know. Savitar came up to them and placed his hands on Styx's shoulder, knocking him out again.
Unfortunately, he won't stay that way.
Help me put him back in bed. Instead of helping, Savitar picked Styx up as if he weighed nothing and carried him to the bedroom. There was something weird about how Savitar was acting now, but Orion didn't know him well enough to even hazard a guess about his thoughts.
It's disturbing, isn't it?
Savitar asked him as Orion entered the bedroom.
What? How much he favors Ash?
Orion shrugged. They're identical twins. I had two sets of brothers who were too, but while they may share looks and some tendencies, they're usually very different people. Savitar swept his gaze around the room, then opened the closet, where Styx had two pairs of jeans folded neatly on the top shelf, one sweater, a jacket, two long-sleeve button-downs, and three short-sleeve shirts, one pair of shoes. Frowning, Savitar continued to search all six rooms of the condo. Curious, Orion followed him around. What are you looking for?
What's your impression of this place?
Orion answered with the first word that popped into his head. Spartan. Savitar nodded.
Not exactly the kind of place a spoiled prince would be happy in, is it?
He handed a bank book to Orion.
Acheron gave him plenty of money, and you can tell by the lack of dishes, he doesn't do much, if any, entertaining. The only thing he appears to have splurged on is a computer.
Only because I ordered it for him. He didn't know anything about them and asked my advice. He'd even come up here and set it up for him. Savitar picked up Styx's phone, looked at it, then handed it to Orion.
Yours is the only number he has, and it's the only one he's called.
And not that often. And even then, not for very long. Their longest conversation had been about the computer, and that had probably been no more than 20 minutes, tops.
Orion sighed. I was hoping he had other people he hung out with.
Has he said anything to you about being alone?
He didn't really talk much. Mostly asked questions about modern things he can't figure out or customs and phrases he's unfamiliar with.
Savitar scowled. Does he ever mention Ash or their sister?
Only if I bring him up. And then he quickly deflects the conversation to another topic. Tonight notwithstanding, or when he and Ash went at each other, he's usually quiet and reserved, unassuming, but he does have a wicked sense of humor.
How so?
Orion smiled at the memories of their brief conversations. One of my personal faves, he made a snarky comment on something and then apologized by saying that he was so allergic to stupidity that it caused him to break out into rampant sarcasm. Another time, he made the comment that he was a leader and not a follower. Unless it was a dark place with loud growls, then fuck that shit, he'd gladly follow me in to investigate it. Savitar laughed. Orion continued. He also wanted to know why sour cream, buttermilk, and blue cheese have expiration dates, why boxing rings are always square, why buildings burn up as they're burning down. He paused to laugh. And my two favorites? He asked why we have doctors now and not physicians.
Savitar screwed his face up. They're the same.
That's what I said. But then he pointed out to me that back in the so-called barbarian days, we didn't have doctors who practiced medicine, but rather physicians who healed you, or killed you, just like now. He asked me how modern man could trust someone with so little knowledge of their field that they told you right up front they were still in the learning process.
Savitar snorted. I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. And a few months ago, he was in a grocery store and wanted to know why lemon juice was artificially flavored, but dishwashing soap contained real lemons. And what did modern people have against turkeys? He could find turkey masquerading as bacon, steak, and burgers, but no plain turkeys. Needless to say, I never thought about any of that either, probably because the only time I was ever in a grocery store, I was shopping for humans. Savitar ignored those last comments.
It must be hard for him to adjust.
He doesn't complain. He just tries to understand modern mindsets, such as, how can he be a chauvinist pig if he opens the door for a woman, and then he's an insensitive pig if he doesn't?
The day he figures that one out, tell him to write a book and we'll all be rich.
He already has. He stays back until she goes in, and then he runs for it before another one comes along. Savitar laughed, then sobered.
Tell me honestly, Orion. What do you think of him?
I like him. And it's not because I idolized him as a military hero when I was a kid. He was a fierce old fart to me then, kind of like you.
Savitar arched a censuring brow, then smiled and hehed.
You know me, Thonian. I don't play well with others, and I basically hate everyone all the time, but I would actually cross the street to have a conversation with him. In fact, I have.
Coming from you, that's the highest endorsement I can think of.
Orion shrugged. I just don't understand their mutual hatred. I mean, I get not liking your brother. Had more than my fair share. I couldn't stand to be around for more than 5 minutes, but I didn't really hate them. We were just different. While I might deck one from time to time, I never really tried to kill one. Savitar glanced around at the sparse, humble furnishings.
I understand why Asheron hates him, and it is justified, believe me. Apollyme herself has told me about their bad blood, and I know she's not lying. I'm just having a hard time reconciling the stories I've been told with the man who lives in this apartment. Of course, 11,000 years can change someone. I don't know.
Savitar sighed.
Keep an eye on him and let me know if he slips back into another coma.
And with that, he was gone. Orion started to leave too, but given how distraught Styx had been, he didn't want Styx to be alone when he woke up. That was the last thing anyone this lonely needed. Besides, it wasn't like he had anywhere else to go or anyone else waiting for him. Loneliness he got, as much as he understood wanting to pound on a brother who wore out the nerves. And having been left alone to struggle to pull his life back together twice already, he wouldn't do that to Styx. So he glanced around for something to occupy himself with. His gaze fell to a sketchbook on the end table. Curious about what it contained, he walked over to it and flipped it open. His jaw went slack at what he found inside. The majority of the book was filled with drawings of an absolutely stunning woman, who must be the Bethany Styx talked about. Damn, no wonder he was obsessed. She was gorgeous. Some of the pictures of her were so real, she looked like she could step off the page and touch him. But the ones that were truly haunting were drawings of Styx and her. He'd perfectly captured their smiles and laughs. But most of all, he caught the anguish and love on his own features as he held her. There were also pictures of Bethany with a son, and of the boy by himself, a boy Styx had never met. It wrung Orion's heart, because these weren't just images of memories. These were memories Styx had wanted to have. They were longings of a broken promise the gods had stolen from him. There was nothing crueler than to steal someone's dreams, to take a future. And he should know. It was what he grappled with every day of his own life. His tomorrow had become his yesterday. There were no more left to look forward to. And that was the moment when you knew you wanted to die. And you began every day with a breath and a whisper that searched for a reason to get up out of bed, because really? What was the use? Life just became rote. In that, he and Styx were bonded brothers. The one difference being that Styx was talented in a way Orion would never have guessed. And what he found most telling about his friend was that while a couple of Bethany's drawings showed her seductively clad in Greek gowns, none of them were of her naked. Even though Styx had never intended for anyone else to see this, he'd kept his wife's honor sacred and respected her. That said it all about how much he loved that woman. Orion stopped on the next page as he found the image of a toddler boy dressed in a hoplite's Corinthian helm. It was hilarious and adorable. Beside it, Styx had written the name Galen in Greek. He also had a few of an adult Galen, one of a woman named Tig, a horse and a dog, and a few scenes from what must have been his native Didymos. The pages went on and on, including a large number of Acheron in his modern goth wear and long black hair, as well as pictures of them together with a bolt of lightning coming down between them. When Orion turned to the next page, his heart stopped as he stared at a face he'd never thought to see again. It staggered him so much that he had to sit. Styx had drawn him with Phoebe. Even though the bastard had never seen her, he'd penned her perfect likeness from Orion's descriptions. It was absolutely eerie that he could do that, and it showed him just how true to life his drawings of Bethany must be if Styx could do this just based off words. Incredible. And in that moment, the pain that rifled through Orion was crippling. It merged with the same agony and madness that had driven Styx to fill this book with image after image of his wife and longed-for son. Since Styx had nothing left of her to hold on to, he must have created this. And it was like looking into Styx's soul. Unable to cope with it, Orion set the sketchbook back right where he'd found it. Honestly, what disturbed him the most about that book? He saw his own future. Phoebe had only been dead a handful of years, and it still burned inside him like a raging furnace. For Styx, it had been 11,000 years, and he still ached as much now as he had then. That did not bode well for Orion, because he knew the other truth. He still missed Zin, just as much today as he had the day she'd vanished. The pain never ended, and he knew it. Maybe that was why he was so drawn to Styx. They were bound by similar tragedies and had been born virtual contemporaries in ancient Greece. Well, not quite. Styx was the same age as his father, but close enough. Orion glanced back at the sketchbook and cringed. So that's what I have to look forward to. Bitter insanity. So awesome.